Now, in a black sky, a sliver of sunlight crests the Earth. Rays of light shoot off the continents, and a three-dimensional word orbits the planet, Universal. A web address appears, www.universalstudios.com. Now a man holds a spyglass to his eye before blue rippling water. Spyglass Entertainment. Titles appear on black. Universal Pictures and Spyglass Entertainment present A Shady Acres Pitbull Production, a Tom Shadyac film. Jim Carrey, Jennifer Aniston, Morgan Freeman. Now a dimple-cheeked reporter stands in a bakery. He faces Allie, a dark-haired woman, and a camera crew.
Allie, can we get a recap?
You remember the Kowalskis? They've owned the shop for 30 years, and they are attempting to set a record by making Buffalo's largest cookie. And you have to wear this.
A hairnet?
Health department.
You're kidding me.
If you're working around the cookie, you have to have it on. It's the law.
I just did the hair. The hair is perfect. All right, give it to me.
An old woman and a tall man stand poker-faced behind a counter.
God, why do you hate me?
We're rolling. And speed. For three decades, the Kowalski Family Bakery has been a mainstay in downtown Buffalo, known for their sinfully sweet cream-filled Polski pierogies and the occasional sugar-induced coma that follows.
A title, Bruce Almighty.
Today, in honor of their 30th anniversary, they've invited us to ride along as they go for the record on Buffalo's biggest cookie.
Staring obliviously into the camera, the tall man picks his nose.
Need a tissue or something?
Can we get Vola tissue? Or a spoon?
It's a good thing we're wearing these today, because I wouldn't want any stray hairs to fall into the booger.
Later with Allie.
Are we gonna do this again?
No. We can cut to B-roll.
Moving on!
Later.
So tell me, Mama, why make Buffalo's biggest cookie?
Well, man from health department say he find rat pellet in our pastry, but I say no. Is big chocolate sprinkle, but he shuts store down. So we clean up, make big cookie for to bring customers back.
Well, I admire your candor. Now let's try that again, shall we?
In another take.
So tell me, Mama, why make Buffalo's biggest cookie?
So the children of the neighborhood will be happy?
That's right. It must be wonderful seeing the smiles on their little faces.
I work in back. I see no smiles.
Outside, bakers cart a huge chocolate cookie in front of a crowd.
The previous Buffalo record was 8 feet 7 inches, baked by Gladys Pelznick. If this cookie beats Gladys's, it will prove once and for all that the Kowalskis have much more free time. And the cookie is 10 feet 4 inches! We have a new record!
In slow motion, people toast with tumblers of milk, and two cops raise theirs to the camera. As kids hold out empty cups, the reporter runs with a pitcher. He fills their cups to overflowing with milk, splashing them in the process. Later, he stands before the cookie's leftovers.
But what are we really looking at here? Is it just a big cookie? Or does this cookie represent the pride of Buffalo? It's dedicated and hardworking citizens, the key ingredient, with a few nuts thrown in.
The camera pans to Mama and Vol.
And finally, the love of our families, which provides the warm, chewy center, making our beloved Buffalo the sweetest place to live. And that's the way the cookie crumbles. I'm Bruce Nolan, Eyewitness News.
Now in their cozy apartment, Bruce and a long-haired blonde watch a tape of the broadcast.
What do you think?
I think it's really good.
It sucks. It's a story about a cookie. Pillsbury Doughboy will be riveted.
The woman peruses photos.
Honey, it was funny. It made me laugh. There's nothing wrong with making people laugh.
I'll never be an anchorman. Not with this. The job's right there. But I can't reach it. Because every time they make me do this kind of stuff, I have to act like a total goof in order to make it work. I have no credibility. Not good. Not good.
Okay, you know what? Now you're just sounding silly.
You know what? Forget it. It's not important, right? It's not important. Let's watch it one more time.
Oh, no.
Just once more.
No.
Please.
No. Bruce, you promised that you would help me with this photo album. And you get your goofy butt over here. Nuh-uh.
As Bruce sinks onto the couch, he swings his butt out toward her face.
Okay. All right. Now you just go through this stack, and you pick your favorites.
Glowering, Bruce flips through a stack of snapshots.
Oh, come on. This is fun. Right? Isn't this fun? This is nice.
Evan's gonna get that anchor job, I just know it.
Oh, Bruce!
He's the favorite!
All right, you know what, just forget it. Let's just forget it. This is just our life. We can always just have some kid do it for us.
She gathers up the photos.
Whoa, hold the phone. I like this one. Our weekend at the lake.
How did you get that? That's supposed to be in our private stash.
You look perky, hon. Must have been cold.
All right, just give it to me.
Yeah, I think I'll put this on my computer and use it as wallpaper.
Okay, give it to me.
Well, yeah, keeps it out of reach.
All right, fine. Do with it what you will. I don't care.
I will do with it what I will.
As she steps away, Bruce follows.
You know, I might even send this into Playboy. I hear their layouts can be quite tasteful.
As the woman tackles Bruce, a black and white mutt sits up and watches. Now an alarm clock reads 6 a.m. Bruce's girlfriend turns off the alarm.
Sweetie, time to get up.
Good dream. No.
She yanks the covers away. Bruce lies in a fetal position. He flops onto his back, then kicks wildly, eyes closed. Later, he watches TV as he gets dressed.
Well, the Buffalo Sabres lost again last night at the hands of the Toronto Maple Leafs. It was
of course they did. They're my team.
Now he faces a mirror.
That's the way the cookie crumbles. You know, I think there might be something to this cookie line. All the greatest anchors have had their own signature sign-off. Like, Walter Cronkite.
He holds a brush under his nose like a mustache.
And that's the way it was. And that's the way the cookie crumbles. And that's the way, I like it.
The dog pees on a floral print chair.
Grace, the dog!
I'm in the shower!
He continues peeing as Bruce carries him down the hall.
That dog!
Outside.
Inside bad, outside good. Inside bad, outside good.
Bruce sets him down on a patch of grass.
Oh, you're done now. Great. B-E-A beautiful.
Sam wags his tail happily.
Come on, let's go back inside and have a shit.
Now, Bruce's car stops at a curb. Near an ambulance, a sign reads, Small Wonders Daycare.
What is the dealio?
We are having a blood drive.
Creepy. Needles. Yuck.
Well, they need my blood. I have a very rare blood type. I'm AB positive.
Really? I'm IB positive. IB positive, they ain't touching me with no needle. I mean, it's just so...
helpful and life-saving?
No, it's your blood. It's blood. Blood's supposed to stay inside the body. That's where it's meant to be. Besides, they stockpile this stuff in a warehouse somewhere. It's all frozen on ice, and they tell everybody there's a shortage.
It's not true. Where did you hear that?
From a very reliable friend of a girl whose sister is going out with someone very high up in the government. But for your own protection, I cannot discuss it at this time. Now get out before they see us together.
She gives him a kiss, climbs out, then hands him a beaded bracelet.
Oh, here. Hold on a second. You need these more than I do.
What is these?
Prayer beads. The kids made them for me. They will keep you safe.
I hope they're powerful. I'm gonna need a friggin' miracle to get to work on time.
He hangs them on his rearview mirror. Now, a four-lane traffic jam runs the length of a street where two crashed vehicles block an intersection. In his car, Bruce flicks the prayer beads.
This isn't happening. Not now. Not during sweeps week.
Not during sweeps week!
He bounces in his idling car.
Oh, God.
He checks his pager.
Yep, meeting started. Without me. This is my luck.
Later, his car speeds around the Channel 7 parking lot and zips into a space.
Oh, come on.
He slams the door in his jacket as he tries to go. It yanks him back.
Jeez.
A homeless man holds a sign that reads, Are you blind? R is the letter and U is spelled E-W-E.
Are you blind? No, but I'm late.
On a TV in a conference room.
Is your child in dire jeopardy? Find out tonight after the game.
Okay, promos are approved. Now let's...
Jack, shouldn't we be focusing on Pete's retirement? I mean, this is his last week.
Yeah, Jack, any word on the open anchor position?
Evan, when I know something, you'll know something.
Bruce rushes in.
Sorry I'm late. Traffic was... Ugh. Did you guys already play the spots?
It's a nice story, Bruce, but we're gonna go with Evan's piece. The sex scandal in the mayor's office for sweeps.
Oh, yeah. Sweeps.
And that's the way the cookie crumbles. I'm just messing with you, Bruce. See, you just gotta remember that the newsroom is like a big cookie.
Do you like jazz, Evan?
Yeah.
Let me play something for you.
He pretends to play trumpet, fingering the invisible valves. His middle finger shoots up with each sustained note.
I can hold that note all day, buddy.
Knock it off, guys. Bruce, we're going to keep your story in reserve. Now can we get back to the board so we'll have something to put on the air today?
In the hall.
Great choice, Jack. This is the Cadillac of balonies.
Okay, thanks.
Jack, can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah, sure, Bruce. What do you need?
Sweeps.
Bruce.
Jack, hear me out here. I'm starting to get desperate, man. I'm pushing 40. And what have I got to show for it? I've hit some kind of a ceiling here. There's an anti-Bruce barrier I can't get past. And Evan is loving it, by the way. Loving it. He gets stories. He gets on sweeps. Maybe I should be more like Evan.
You don't want to be like Evan? Evan's an asshole.
Well, I can be an asshole.
No, Bruce, you can't.
Staring defiantly, Bruce knocks the bologna sandwich from his boss's hand.
You gonna pick that up?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He picks up the sandwich.
Sis, this whole anchor thing opening up has got me nuts.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Jack.
The attractive brunette walks past them.
Look, Bruce, you're a good reporter. You make people laugh.
Bruce wears a discouraged expression.
All right. I'll tell you what. Today is the 156th anniversary of the Maid of the Mist. Well, I want you at Niagara Falls in an hour.
Well, the Maid of the Mist, it's always live.
Mm-hmm.
But Evan always does the live feeds.
Now you and Evan get the live feeds.
I'm going live?
Mm-hmm.
During sweeps?
Mm-hmm. But watch your step, Bruce. I've seen your outtakes.
Jack, you will not regret this.
He starts off.
And I won't forget you when I go national. Can you...
Jack takes the sandwich from his hand.
Thanks, pal.
At Small Wonders Daycare.
Can I have your wish now? I'm going to put it in the wish jar. Thank you. Okay, put your wish in there.
Me too.
Put your wish in there. Look at that. Looks like a big
A boy
wish.
Eats paste.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Martin, don't eat that. Don't eat that. Don't put that in your mouth. That's paste, honey.
As she picks him up, a blonde woman enters.
That must have tasted awful. Mommy. Oh, Zoe, but boy.
Did you have a good time with Aunt Gracie today?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? See how nice this is? Baby on the hip.
Oh, it's amazing. You've become mom. The transformation is complete.
I'll get it. Small Wonders Daycare.
Grace?
No, it's Debbie, the sister whose life you're not wasting.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Hi, Debbie.
Grace takes the phone.
Hi. Sorry, Debbie forgot to take her meds today. Where are you?
Oh, a little place called the Winner's Circle. I'm at the falls doing a live report.
Live? That's great!
Yeah, it's happening, hun. I got sweeps and I'm live. You know what that means? They're seeing if I can think on my feet. You know, like I might have to do in a live news anchor situation.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this is what we've always talked about, Grace. Jack practically came out and told me.
Oh, practically?
Well, he didn't spell it out, but legally he can't. But this is exactly what happened to Susan Ortega just before they bumped her up to the desk. It's good.
Okay, well, honey, you know, I just don't want you to get too ahead of yourself, you know. Chris.
Oh, I gotta go. They're calling me in.
Oh, okay, honey, good luck. I love you.
Love.
He holds Allie's shoulder.
Let's do it.
Later.
They want you close to the falls.
Really? I'm gonna get soaked.
That's the point. They want you to put this on.
An umbrella hat.
Part of the condition of us getting the exclusive.
You know what? Nothing can bother me today. Nothing.
Okay, now remember, it's their 156-year anniversary, 149 capacity.
Right.
They cater to tourists, honeymooners.
And people who are insanely thirsty. I get it.
Okay. And you are going to be interviewing Irene Dansfield.
Irene, pleasure to meet you. Truly.
You look beautiful.
Irene's mother wrote on a maiden voyage.
Wow, rub that in my face, why don't you?
90 seconds!
90 seconds, holy hell. Yeah, okay.
In the studio.
Whew.
But because of the fast response, the toxic chemicals were cleaned up without incident. Susan?
Bruce Nolan is standing by at Niagara Falls, but before we go live to Bruce, we have an announcement to make. As everyone knows, after 33 years, our beloved Pete Feynman is retiring. Pete's shoes are virtually impossible to fill, but the show must go on. And we could think of no one better than our very own Evan Baxter.
Back at Small Wonders Daycare, Grace watches on TV.
Oh, boy.
Congratulations, Evan.
Thanks, Susan. I'm thrilled and honored. And as you said, no one can replace the great Pete Feynman. But I will do my best. I have to say, I am so proud to be a part of our local community of Buffalo. And I think in a lot of ways, a great city is like a great recipe, really. You take hardworking citizens, add some caregivers, maybe a few nuts. all sprinkled with the love and support of our good families. And ultimately, that makes one sweet place to live.
That was amazing.
Well, I meant it. I wish I'd written something.
And now let's go live to that wacky Bruce Nolan out at Niagara Falls.
Hey, wacky Bruce!
On the Maid of the Mist, Bruce wears a clenched grin.
Bruce? Talk, Bruce. Hello?
Talk, honey.
At the studio.
What's going on?
We got a Walt Disney.
It's frozen solid.
They may not have audio. Check the feed.
We may be having a bit of technical difficulty.
Feed's good, Jack.
Come on. Talk, Bruce, damn it. All right, get ready to pull the plug.
With Grace.
Oh, come on, baby, say something.
On the boat.
Bruce, talk.
His frown turns into a broad smile.
Hi, Susan.
Oh, thank you, God.
Bruce Nolan here, aboard the Maid of the Mist in fabulous Niagara Falls, New York. First off, let me just add another congratulations to Evan Backstabber. Pardon me, Baxter. Baxter, rather. It is good to see what someone with real talent can do when great opportunities are given to them instead of me. Anyway, I'm here with Katharine Hepburn's mom. Tell me, why did you throw the Blue Heart of the Ocean jewel over the railing of the Titanic? Did you feel bad at all letting Leo DiCaprio drown while you were safe floating on the big door? Could you have taken turns? Or were you just too afraid to freeze your baked fat ass off? I guess that's how life is, isn't it? Some people are drenched, freezing to death on a stupid boat with a stupid hat, while others are in a comfy news studio, sucking up all the glory. Oh well, no big deal.
He tears off his umbrella hat.
Oh look, it's the owner of the Maid of the Mist. Let's have a talk with him, shall we? Come on in here, Bill. No. Come on, let's have a talk.
Come on, what are you doing?
Bill, you've been running the Maid of the Mist for 23 years now. Tell me, why do you think I didn't get the anchor job?
Hey, man, I don't want any problems.
Is it my hair, Bill? Are my teeth not white enough? Or like the Great Falls is the bedrock of my life eroding beneath me. Eroding.
At the studio.
Cut the feet. Put a black.
I'm on it.
Back on the Maid of the Mist.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
At the daycare, Grace covers her eyes.
Oh, my God.
Security guards shove Bruce onto the pavement, then throw out a file box of belongings.
That is the motivation that I needed. Right there. Thank you.
He picks up the box.
Thank you. WKBW, wimpy kitty baby whiners. That's what that stands for! I'll see you on Channel 5, where they do the real news.
As Bruce storms off, he sees a gang tormenting the homeless man and sets his box down. The gang members glance at him. The thugs back away.
What are you doing over there? Come on, leave the poor guy alone. You okay, man?
Bruce glares at the retreating gang.
Yeah, you better keep walking.
What?
As Bruce races to his car, he fumbles with his keys. The gang tackles him to the ground, then kicks and beats him.
Okay. Oh, I didn't mean it. I was just kidding.
Hey, we got your things.
The man empties the box over Bruce. As they walk away, Bruce pulls a jacket off his face.
Beautiful.
A framed picture of Walter Cronkite lies next to him.
That's what I get. That's what I get for trying to help someone.
Lifting his bruised head, Bruce covers the picture.
Oh, look at me, Walter. Oh, no!
The word hero is scratched into his car door. He throws his jacket into the box.
That's my payment, I guess. That is my reward.
The homeless man holds a sign that reads, "Life is just."
Just get a clue!
At Bruce's apartment.
Well, thank God you're all right.
God, yeah, let's thank God, shall we? For his blessings are raining down upon me. Wait, that's not rain!
Bruce, please don't do that, honey. You know that everything happens for a reason.
That I don't need. That is a cliche. That is not helpful to me. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. I have no bird. I have no bush. God has taken my bird and my bush.
Oh, I see. So God is picking on you? Is that what you're saying?
No, he's ignoring me completely. He's far too busy giving Evan everything he wants.
The dog urinates on their TV.
Oh, that's great, Sam. But you missed your target. I'm over here!
Don't get mad at the dog. It's not the dog's fault.
No, it's God's fault. I gave him the wrong coordinates.
You know what? Enough. All right? Will you just stop being such a martyr?
I am not being a martyr. I'm a victim. God is a mean kid sitting on an anthill with a magnifying glass, and I'm the ant. He could fix my life in 5 minutes if he wanted to, but he'd rather burn off my feelers and watch me squirm.
All right, sweetheart, I know that you're mad. It's completely understandable. What Evan did is slimy and wrong. But this day could have been so much worse. I'm just glad you're okay.
Okay? Newsflash! I'm not okay. I'm not okay with a mediocre job. I'm not okay with a mediocre apartment. I'm not okay with a mediocre life!
He slams the box of photos off the table. Tears glisten in Grace's eyes. As she walks over to the fallen box, Bruce paces.
So is that what you think that we have? A mediocre life?
Don't make this about you.
About me? How can I make this about me? It's about you. It's always about you.
Perfect. Perfect. I'll have the worst day of my life with a side order of guilt, please.
Bruce grabs his keys and walks out. Grace throws down some pictures. Later, Bruce drives down a street.
Okay, God. You want me to talk to you?
Talk back. Tell me what's going on.
What should I do? Give me a signal.
An electronic road sign blinks. Caution ahead.
I need your guidance, Lord. Please, send me a sign.
A truck carrying a full load of traffic signs pulls before him.
What's this joker doing now?
As Bruce swerves his car around the truck, he spots the prayer beads hanging from his mirror.
Okay. All right. I'll try it your way.
He grips them.
All right. Lord, I need a miracle. I'm desperate. I need your help, Lord. Please, reach into my life.
His front wheel hits a pothole, sending the beads out of his hand. He bends down and grabs them. He looks at the beads, then faces forward. He crashes into a light post. Bruce rubs his head and slowly steps out of the smoking vehicle. The hood of his car is bent up, revealing the motor. As he looks over the wreck, Bruce shakes his head and extends his arms wide. Behind him, the truck carrying the sign speeds down the road.
Hey!
As he points to the passing truck, he finds the prayer beads wrapped around his hand. Bruce glares at the beads. He closes his fingers around them into a fist, charges toward a riverbank, and throws them in. The beads sink.
Fine! The gloves are off, pal! Come on, let me see a little wrath. Smite me, oh mighty smiter! You're the one who should be fired! The only one around here not doing his job is you! Answer me!
He sinks his shoulders and sighs. Bruce reaches under his shirt and removes a pager clipped to his pocket. It reads 555-0123.
Sorry, don't know you. Wouldn't call you if I did.
He clips his pager back on, then faces his car and frowns. Later in Bruce's bedroom. The pager sits on the nightstand. With his eyes closed, Bruce wipes his face and presses a button on his alarm clock.
Oh, God.
He opens his eyes, sits up and grabs the pager, then wearily reads the number.
Hello, 555-0123.
He opens the bedroom window, tosses the pager in his hand, then chucks it outside. The pager slams into a pole, drops to the pavement, and a car runs over it. Bruce exits his bedroom, then backtracks to the dresser. From a hanging oval mirror, he removes a photo of himself and Grace with an attached post-it note that reads, "I love you. We need to talk, Grace." Bruce whips around to find Sam peeing on the chair.
Damn, this has gotta stop!
He carries the still-peeing dog out and sets him on the patch of grass.
All right, now get it straight. That's the house. This is the bathroom. House, bathroom, bathroom, house, house, bathroom, bathroom, house!
Sam wags his tail.
What's the point?
Bruce peers into the street, then knits his brow. The broken pager lies in pieces on the road. As a truck passes, Bruce steps onto the pavement and walks over to the destroyed device. He bends down and picks up a string of connected pieces. The flat display panel reads, 555-0123. Bruce lifts the pager's disconnected wire in his hand. Now, back in his bedroom, he dials.
555.
550123.
Denied that promotion at work? Is life unfair? Is there someone less talented than you reaping all the benefits? Is your name Bruce? Then do we have the job for you? We're located at 77256 23rd Street. So come on down, or we'll just keep beeping you.
Later, Bruce drives his wrecked car down a wide, deserted alley. Warehouse buildings tower above him on either side. He parks his car, gets out, and looks up. Scrolling down the massive old building before him are the words, Omnipresence.
Omnipresence.
Bruce nods.
Oh, yeah. The glass is half full.
He walks into a deep puddle.
Oh! Come on! Look!
His leg is soaked.
What is that? What is that?
Bruce frantically rubs his khakis.
Jeez!
Thank you. Thank you again.
He looks skyward. Shaking his leg, Bruce steps through a blue door into a vast, white, open space. He walks over to a directory. Personnel, accounting, creative, and destructive are all located in room 7.
You're looking for room 7.
Bruce faces a janitor who mops the floor.
Yeah, I figured.
He eyes the sign.
You want me to even those up for you?
Bruce glances down at his wet pant leg and grins.
How do I get to room 7?
I'll be on the 7th floor. Stairs right over there.
I'd rather take the elevator.
Out of order.
I love the stairs, though. They were my second choice.
Do you mind giving me a hand with this floor?
What? That's good. Are you serious?
The janitor nods.
Oh, I'm kind of busy. Rain check.
The man points to him.
I'll hold you to it.
Bruce enters the stairwell.
I'm free on the 7th! That's 7!
He rolls his eyes.
7th, that's 7 it is.
Bruce steps through a door into another vast, wide open space.
This looks promising.
He turns to leave. Bruce spots a white ladder leading to the ceiling and heads over.
Hello? Another gigantic, ginormic waste of my life.
He taps on the ladder.
Hello? Yo, I'm looking for whoever runs this joint.
Be right with you. I'm trying to fix a light. Tell me if it's working.
A brilliant light shines.
Yeah, seems to be. Kind of bright, though.
Yeah, it is for most people. Spend their lives in the dark, trying to hide from me.
The bearded janitor descends the ladder.
Well, the elevator's broken, huh?
Yeah, but I'll get around to it.
He claps and the light goes out.
You install the clapper?
No, but catch a jingle, isn't it? Clap on, clap off, clap on, clap off. The clapper.
Bruce knits his brow.
Just can't get it out of my head, man.
Well, good luck with that. I'm gonna go now.
Okay, but the boss will be right out.
The man unzips his blue coveralls and steps out of them, revealing a pristine white dress suit. He brushes off his hands and faces Bruce.
You must be Bruce. I've been expecting you.
Bruce slaps his leg.
This is hilarious. So you're the boss and the electrician and the janitor. Must be a killer Christmas party. Don't get drunk, though. One of you might need a ride home.
You always were funny, Bruce. Just like your father. He didn't mind rolling up his sleeves either, son. People underestimate the benefit of good old manual labor. It's freedom in it. Some of the happiest people in the world go home smelling to high heavens at the end of the day.
Bruce eyes him quizzically.
All right, what is this? How do you know my father, and how'd you get my pager number?
Oh, I know quite a lot about you, Bruce.
He rests his hand on Bruce's shoulder.
Just about everything there is to know. Everything you've ever said, or done, or thought about doing. Right there in that file cabinet.
A small cabinet stands against the wall.
Wow, a whole drawer just for me. Mind if I take a look?
Sure, like.
Bruce smirks.
This ought to be good.
He bends over the cabinet and the bearded man steps back. As Bruce opens the drawer, it extends 100 feet into the vast room, with Bruce clinging to the handle. The bearded man extracts a folder at the end of the long stack.
Now, this last entry was a little disturbing.
The man hits the cabinet. It retracts back into the small cabinet, with Bruce hanging on with one hand. As he peers over the edge, the drawer slams closed. Bruce collapses on the floor.
The gloves are off, God. God has taken my bird and my bush. God is a mean kid with a magnifying glass. Smite me, O mighty smiter. Now, I'm not much for blaspheming, but that last one made me laugh.
Are you spying on me?
Bruce rises to his feet and points at the man.
Who are you?
I'm the one. Huh? Creator of the heavens and the earth. Alpha and Omega.
Bruce rolls his eyes.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Bruce, I'm God.
Bingo! Yahtzee! Is that your final answer? Our survey says God! Bing, 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 bing. Well, it was nice to meet you, God. Thank you for the Grand Canyon, and good luck with the apocalypse. Oh, and by the way, you suck! You know what would have been a little bit more impressive, though? If you hadn't used the cheesy file cabinet illusion. Anybody with a brainstem can tell that that drawer is being fed through the wall from the other side. All you have to do is find the crease right around here. There is a seam here. Or a hollow spot.
As Bruce knocks on the wall, God slides the cabinet away.
Where?
Bruce stares at the smooth wall.
Through the drywall and concrete?
He shifts his eyes, then quickly backs away.
Okay, that is a good one. That is a...
He throws his hands behind his back.
Okay, how many fingers am I holding up?
Now, Bruce, thou shalt not tempt the Lord.
Hey, if you can't
God.
Do it, man, that's cool.
3, 2, 4, 9, 6, 8, 1.
Bruce sighs.
Okay.
He holds 7 fingers behind him.
How many now?
He closes one hand.
7.
Aha!
Bruce holds out one hand with 7 fingers. As he gapes, his hand returns to normal.
You've been doing a lot of complaining about me, Bruce. And quite frankly, I'm tired of it.
Wait. Don't come near me. Seriously, when I'm backed into a corner, I'm like a wild animal. I don't want to hurt you, but I will out of instinct.
You haven't won a fight since grade 5, and that was against a girl.
Bruce narrows his gaze.
Yeah, she was huge. She'd been held back.
And the sun was in your eyes. Oh, the ego. In a way, I brought you here to offer you a job.
Job? What job?
My job. You think you can do it better, so here's your chance. When you leave this building, you will be endowed with all my powers.
Whatever you say, Bill.
Bruce rushes out of the building.
Okay. That cannot happen. And no one needs to hear about it. I'm deleting the program.
He walks over the puddle without sinking.
No.
No.
I'm not going to break it. That's what it is.
Normal everyday psychotic episode. Caused by a tumor or a brain lesion. Start!
He touches the steering wheel.
I was lucky.
Now, Bruce drives over the bridge and enters the center of town.
Come on, man. Calm down. You do not need God. You do not have his powers. If that was God, then I'm Clint Eastwood.
Holy hell!
Bruce eyes his shattered window, then swerves to the side of the road and glances in the mirror. His reflection resembles Clint Eastwood.
Be careful what you wish for, punk.
No! Nope. I am a reasonable, sane human being.
He pulls out a gun.
44 Magnum. The most powerful handgun in the world.
He hides the gun.
I'm not Clint Eastwood. I'm Bruce Nolan.
The gun transforms into a microphone.
Bruce, no!
He throws it in a trash can and runs into the Grand Avenue Diner. Inside, as a blonde waitress returns change, Bruce walks down a row of booths and slides into one at the far end. As he snaps his fingers and fidgets, an older, bespectacled man glances over from the counter. The waitress approaches.
Coffee?
Yeah. Coffee, yeah.
We have a special on soup today.
Oh, no, that's fine. Thank you.
It's tomato. I made it myself. Okay.
She smiles and walks off. Bruce cups his hands over his face and rocks back and forth. He takes a deep breath, then slowly edges his hand toward the sugar shaker on the table. He stops a few inches before it and the shaker slides into his hand. The bespectacled man stares from the counter. Bruce concentrates on the creamer and holds out his other hand. It slides over to him. As the man at the counter stares, Bruce's jaw drops. Then he shakes his head and pours the creamer into his coffee. He searches the table, then glances up.
Excuse me, I need a spoon.
Bruce pulls a spoon out of his mouth. The bespectacled man raises his brow.
It's okay, I found one.
Lifting his plate and glass, the man moves further down the counter. As Bruce slouches over his coffee, the blonde waitress carries a bowl of soup over to his table.
Here's your soup.
Oh, soup, right. Right.
As he takes a deep breath, the man again turns in his direction. Bruce folds his hands over one another, then lifts the spoon. He glares down, then suddenly straightens and looks out the window. Bruce places the spoon down, swallows, and raises his hand over the bowl. Bruce closes his eyes. Below his open palms, the red tomato soup ripples. A gust of wind breezes through Bruce's hair. As it grows stronger, napkins scatter into the air and the diner door swings open. In the bowl, the soup parts, separating into two masses. As the wind sends paper items gusting around the man at the counter, Bruce raises his hands higher in the air and grins. Between his hands, the soup gushes vertically into the air. God faces Bruce in the booth.
Thy thou.
Come. Take a closer walk with me.
Now, outside.
Let me explain the rules.
Rules?
Yeah, you left in such a rush, I didn't get a chance to explain.
Two extra fingers freaked me out a little bit.
I just figured I'd get your attention. I did the same thing to Gandhi. He didn't eat for 3 weeks. Anyway, here's the deal. You have all my powers. Use them any way you choose. There are only two rules. You can't tell anybody you're God. Believe me, you don't want that kind of attention. And you can't mess with free will.
Bruce shifts his gaze.
Uh-huh. Can I ask why?
Yes, you can. That's the beauty of it.
As God touches Bruce's shoulder, a sailboat passes behind them and Bruce watches it glide by. They are standing on top of Lake Erie.
Speaking of amazing, excuse me.
From below their feet, the prayer beads float to the surface and God picks them up.
Holy sh... cow.
Since you're through with these, I think I'll keep them. Might come in handy someday.
Bruce covers his mouth.
See you around, kid.
God walks away.
Where are you going?
I'm taking a vacation.
God doesn't take vacations, does he? Do ye?
Did you ever hear of the Dark Ages? Besides, I'm covered. You can clear everything up in 5 minutes if you want to. Right?
Bruce lowers his gaze.
Ciao.
As he leaves, God's feet gently walk over the water's rippling surface with each step, and his image fades. Glancing around worriedly, Bruce looks behind him to the city. Looking down at the water, he twists his body, extends his arms, and topples forward, stopping just short of the water. Breathing deeply, he stares down, then waves his hand along the surface. Bruce grins, then runs to the city. Now Bruce strides down a busy street. He points at a fire hydrant. Water gushes from three nozzles. As a woman in a blue dress walks by, Bruce blows. Wind lifts the dress over her hips.
And he saw that it was good.
He continues down the street and spins to face a store window. Bruce holds his palm before a mannequin wearing a cloud-patterned dress shirt and closes his eyes. Bruce and the mannequin switch clothing. Bruce juts out his hip, licks his finger, and touches his new black pants. Smoke wafts into the air. Now, Bruce skips past an alley, then skips backward and stops. It's the gang of thugs.
Beautiful.
As Bruce blows on his thumb, his chest swells. He struts down the alley. A thug looks over.
Hey, check it out!
Hey, check it out! Oh, look, it's the hero. What's up, homie?
Yo, brethren, what up with thee? Blessings on your alley.
Looking for another can of whoop-ass?
You didn't get enough, Mr. Hero?
He wants some more.
Surely I say unto you dudes, I do not wish to fight. So as soon as you apologize and make a full reckoning of your transgressions, I shall absolve you and continue along the path of righteousness.
What are you talking about, man?
A goateed thug points at Bruce.
You're kind of funny, you know what I mean? I don't know if you lost it all up in here or what, but check this out, homie. You want me and the homies to apologize, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool, cool. I'll tell you what. We'll apologize. The day a monkey comes out my butt, then you get your sorry. How about that?
Grinning, the goateed thug shifts on his feet. Bruce smiles coyly.
What a coincidence! Because that's today.
Staring slack-jawed, the goateed thug hunches forward. His face trembles. As his cohorts watch, the seat of the goatee thug's pants bulges and rips. A rhesus monkey shoves his head out. The monkey leaps to the ground and runs down the alley.
Did that monkey just come out your crack, man?
The goatee thug keels over backwards. The others eye Bruce warily.
This is some brutal shit, man. Vamanos! Let's go!
You guys leaving?
As they run away, Bruce points.
Hey, don't forget your parting gift.
He inhales through his nose, then opens his mouth. Locusts spray out and swarm around the gang. The guys cover their heads and swat at the insects as they run off. Bruce clamps his lips shut, stares harshly, and puffs out his cheeks. One locust flies past his head, and the monkey covers his mouth. Bruce grins and walks back to the street. The monkey gallops to his side. Standing on its hind legs, it eyes Bruce imploringly.
Hey, little anal-dwelling butt monkey. Time for you to go home, little buddy.
As the goateed thug staggers to his feet, the monkey charges. The guy scrambles onto a fence. The monkey lunges at the thug's ripped pants. Nighttime. Bruce stands atop the TV station's transmission tower.
I am Bruce Almighty! My will be done!
Lightning flashes around him. Now in his apartment, Grace sits on the sofa thumbing through pictures.
What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us.
Grace warily eyes the front door, then opens it. Bruce holds his hands behind his back.
Trying to make his way. Home!
Oh my God.
You can call me Bruce.
What happened to you? You seem so...
He kisses her passionately. She gazes wide-eyed.
Happy.
Why shouldn't I be? On a night like this?
He holds out a bouquet of yellow flowers.
What are these?
They're a new breed. Cross-pollination between tulips and daisies. I call them... to-daisies.
Okay.
He leers as she carries the flowers toward the kitchen. Bruce closes the door, then pivots jauntily in the doorway.
Honey, these flowers are really beautiful. But last night...
Last night I was only human.
Grace pauses and eyes him blankly. Bruce's gaze lingers on her as he hurries past the stereo.
Barry, help me out here.
As the machine turns, Bruce pulls open the balcony doors and dances out. He eyes the full moon in the cloudy sky. Bruce wipes the air as though erasing a blackboard, and the chalky clouds disappear from the sky. He mimics dusting his hands. He mimes unwinding a rope. Miming twirling a lariat, Bruce lassos the moon. He flicks the rope, cinching it firmly, then puts one foot on the balcony's railing and pulls. Now he pulls with both feet on the railing. The moon zooms closer, casting brilliant light. He ties the rope to the railing. Darting his finger across the sky, Bruce sprinkles it with more bright stars. Eyeing his work, he rubs one out. Grace joins him.
Pie. Wow. Never seen the moon that big.
He massages the back of her head.
We really shouldn't waste it.
Under his touch, Grace rolls her head sensually with her eyes closed. Their lips lock in a heated kiss as Grace passionately paws the back of his head.
Bedroom?
5 minutes.
As Grace runs off, Bruce leaps over the coffee table and claps his hands. The lights go out. Spreading into the bedroom, he eyes a row of candles. The candles ignite. He throws out his arms and his clothes fall away.
I'll be out in a minute.
In the bathroom, Grace dabs on lip gloss.
Don't rush yourself. Sometimes anticipation can heighten the pleasure.
Dropping her makeup, Grace collapses weak-kneed against the sink. Gasping, she recovers.
It's a funny thing about pleasure.
She fumbles with earrings.
It can be quite pleasurable!
Whisking toiletries from a shelf, she falls onto the commode. As Bruce extends his hands, bright light envelops Grace. Grace opens the door, then braces herself in the doorway, her massive blonde hair hanging wildly over her face. As she lunges, Bruce flips her onto the bed. Morning. Grace eats breakfast.
In international news,
Japanese relief workers are staging a desperate effort to rescue hundreds of people stranded by a freak tidal wave that hit Kitamoto City. Scientists say the tsunami may have been caused by what they're describing as unusual lunar activity. More on this as it develops.
Grace gazes at the screen. In the bedroom, Bruce opens his eyes.
Please bless my mommy, my dad, and especially my little sister.
Bruce gazes blankly toward the ceiling. He sits up and furrows his brow. His dark eyes shift left and right, up and down. Chomping his jaw, he puts his finger in his ear and wiggles it. He blinks, stares ahead, then glances toward the floral print chair and Sam's lifted leg.
Sam?
The dog eyes him. Bruce points to the bathroom, and Sam goes in and stands on his hind legs at the toilet. Sam's tail wags happily. Bruce leans back on the mattress and watches as Sam lifts his paw to the toilet's lever.
Good boy.
Sam starts to leave.
Forget something.
Sam goes back and knocks the toilet seat back down.
Good boy. There are girls in the house, huh?
Later, Bruce enters the kitchen, dips Grace, and kisses her.
Morning.
Good morning.
He sits at the table.
I made you grilled cheese.
Ooh, my baby.
Honey, last night was just...
heavenly. I know.
I woke up this morning and I felt like my boobs were bigger. I mean, do they look bigger to you?
He nervously spatters ketchup as she gazes down at her ample cleavage.
Bigger...
Oh, come on! Look at them! Please, they are definitely bigger. I mean, look, they feel huge to me.
Well, listen, I have to go. But this has been the breast... Thank you.
He kisses her.
Where are you going?
To get my job back.
He heads down the front steps.
Yeah, I am great.
Wiggling and jiggling, he descends to the street.
I am good. Reef. Is that what I'm driving?
Bruce walks around the bent and sprung hood of his car and gets behind the wheel. A couple of boys skateboard up to the window.
Whoa! Nice car, man. Yeah, it gets me from A to B.
As Bruce backs away from the curb, he's now driving a silver Celine sports car with a windswept hood and low aerodynamic chassis. He rounds the corner and faces traffic.
Oh, darn. All this horsepower and no room to gallop.
Flicking his fingers, the cars ahead pull to the side.
Hey, Jose! Away!
The Celine zooms unimpeded between the curved cars. Now at a park, policemen sic a dog on a man wearing protective padding. Nearby, a journalist holds a mic.
I certainly wouldn't want to be a fugitive on the run with Hank, Buffalo's number one police dog, on the job. This is Phil Seidelman reporting from the Police Canine Training Center, Channel 5 News. I'll cut it.
Phil loosens his tie as he heads to the parking lot. He spots Bruce.
Hey, look what the cat coughed up. Channel 7, right? You're the guy that went crazy.
I had a bad moment.
What are you doing here?
Just looking for a story?
There's no story here. This pond is all fished out. Pretty standard stuff anyway.
I don't know. My instinct tells me there's something more.
Yeah, we'll go with that. It served you well in the past, right?
As Phil and his cameraman grin, Bruce watches Hank. The dog crosses the park and starts to dig. Some policemen gaze at the animal.
Hey, Hank found something!
The dog tugs a leather shoe.
Hey, we got a body!
Phil faces his crew.
Get the camera, now!
The news van doors slide shut and locks.
I guess every dog has his day.
Bruce spots a boy.
Hey, kid, you want to make $10?
Yeah.
You know how to use one of these things?
Duh.
Bruce hands the kid the camera.
Seems to be in tune. Let's do this.
On TV.
The body of Jimmy Hoffa was uncovered in a field today outside of a canine training center in Buffalo, New York. Bruce Nolan was the first on the scene.
Thank you, Jane.
At the park.
As you can see behind us, the body is being carefully exhumed and will be transported to a medical facility where DNA testing can confirm the identity. That, however, merely a formality at this point, as in a bizarre twist, the body was found buried with a birth certificate and complete set of dental records. I'd call that a red-letter day for any canine unit, but was that enough for old Hank here? No siree. Moments later, he busted a local news camera crew with 220 pounds of marijuana.
I never saw it before! I swear!
Phil's van is full of marijuana plants.
I'm Bruce Nolan.
He gives Hank a dog biscuit.
And that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Now Bruce dances into the Channel 7 newsroom.
Susan?
Good work. I'm impressed.
Bruce leers at Susan, then opens the door to Jack's office.
Jack, did you need me for something?
Bruce! Just the man I want to see.
Hey.
Alpha, what are the odds of that?
What are the odds of that?
Bruce, why don't you sit down?
Okay.
Now, I'm going to be straight with you. We want you back, Bruce. But I want you to understand, it was not my decision to let you go. When the big guy gives the order, you know, you
got... No harm, no foul, Jack. I needed some time to reassess my goals and get in touch with my true self.
You did that in a day?
Imagine what I could do with seven.
Look, Bruce, it is not in my power to give you anchor. Now, as far as field reporting goes, if you're looking for a bump...
Jack, let's just cut the crap and get down to brass tacks here.
Jack leans in with a serious gaze.
Jackie. Don't even worry about it, my old friend.
They shake hands.
You just give me a camera, Jack. I'll give you the news.
At home, Grace eyes Sam leaving the bathroom with toilet paper stuck to his foot. Now at the Mark Twain Chili Cook-Off, Bruce, dressed as Twain, holds a mic.
My secret is that I let the jalapenos marinate in a spicy sauce for at least 24 hours before I stir it into the chili. Then I let it all come to a...
Smoke and debris explode skyward at the edge of the grounds.
Hold that thought, Hazel! It seems as if an asteroid or some kind of meteorite has just hit ground right outside the Mark Twain Chili Cook-Off!
Bruce runs toward the chaos.
This should certainly spice things up a bit!
On TV.
His stories are all over town.
From unearthing Jimmy Hoffa to a meteor crashing to Earth,
Bruce Nolan is rapidly becoming known as...
A billboard with Bruce's picture reads, Mr. Exclusive. At home, Grace walks in on Sam reading the paper on the toilet. She closes the door with a double take. Now the cook-off crowd stands in the crater.
And that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Now at a spa, Asian masseuses walk on Grace and Debbie's backs, kneading with their feet.
This is Bruce's idea?
Uh-huh. He said he wanted me to have a day of beauty and luxurious serenity.
I gotta tell you, he is really impressing me lately.
You know where he's taking me to dinner tonight?
Yeah. The Blue Palm?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I just got chills.
I know. And he told me to prepare for the most memorable night of our entire lives.
Oh my gosh. Grace, he's gonna propose.
No, stop it. No, he's really?
Yeah, really? Come on, you do the math. He sends you all day to a beauty spa. He's taking you to the most romantic restaurant in town where you had your first date. Hello? You know, I never thought I'd say this, but Bruce is right. This is your big night. Relax and enjoy it.
The masseuse steps on Grace's shoulder blades. Now at the station, Bruce peers into the control room.
Welcome to Eyewitness News at 6 with Susan Ortega, Evan Baxter, Fred Donahue, Sports, Dallas Coleman, Weather, and now, Buffalo's number one news team.
Good evening and welcome to Eyewitness News at 6. I'm Susan Ortega.
And I'm Evan Baxter, and here's what's making news. A potential scandal with the Buffalo...
In the doorway, CD Bruce rubs his throat.
When the mayor's about to... As a response to allegations...
The director leans forward.
Somebody get him some water, please.
It looks like my new co-anchor may need a glass of water.
Evan drinks. In the control room doorway, Bruce glances around.
There we go. Sorry about that.
He mimes typing.
In other news, the Prime Minister of Sweden visited Washington today, and my tiny little nipples went to France.
The director faces his crew.
What did he just say? Check the prompter.
The crew exchange shrugs and puzzled looks.
Prompt is fine. Evan, read the copy, please. The copy's good. Just read it.
The White House Reception Committee greeted the Prime Rib Roast Minister, and I do the cha-cha like a sissy girl.
Bruce keeps typing.
I like a do da cha-cha.
As the teleprompter scrolls, a crewman checks the hard copy.
I'm sorry, we seem to be having some technical...
Bruce reaches under his armpit.
In other news...
Bruce flexes his arm down.
My apologies.
Susan stares at Evan. Bruce squishes up his mouth. Evan contorts his face and blabbers in unison with Bruce, then in dialogue. Evan glances nervously from Susan to the crew to the camera, then sadly drops his eyes to his notes. In the doorway, Bruce laughs. Now in the dining room of an elegant nightclub, a jazz combo backs up Tony Bennett.
If I ruled the world, every day would be the first day of spring. Every heart would have a new song to sing.
At a table, Bruce and Grace watch as the waiter opens a bottle of wine. Tony points to the couple and smiles. Grace gapes as Bruce playfully points back.
If I rule the world.
Bruce sloshes the wine around in his glass, inhales its aroma, and reaches for the bottle.
May I?
Certainly.
Bruce drinks a swig from the bottle and smacks his lips. Grace grins and looks away.
It's perfect. She'll love it.
We would treasure each day that occurred.
Bruce grins.
You know, I was gonna wait until after the meal. But I think it's gonna burst out of me like an alien if I don't do it now.
He moves to her side and kneels.
Okay. This is it, isn't it? I don't know if I'm ready for this. I mean, I'm ready for this. I just didn't know if I would. I didn't think I would have that. I'm sorry, go on.
I know this was so important to you.
Me neither.
He gazes up at her imploring face.
Grace. Grace.
She smiles happily.
Hello.
Bruce meets her soulful gaze.
I got anchor.
Grace's smile fades. She shifts her jaw and lowers her eyes.
Yes. Apparently, it wasn't working out with Evan. So, he's gonna finish out the week, and I go live on Monday.
She gives him a wide grin.
That's great, honey.
I know.
Well.
As he scoots back to his seat, her eyes sadly shift.
So that's what this is all about?
Well, yeah. Grace, we got anchor. Jack's throwing me a party Friday night at the Vanderbilt estate to celebrate. What's the matter?
Now I leave.
Bruce grimaces.
Oh, so stupid.
Wow, it's kind of loud in here, isn't it?
No, it's not loud. Bruce glares at a nearby table.
A dull roar? Thank you.
Is that supposed to be funny? Because that is not funny.
What are you saying?
What's wrong with you? Stop yelling.
Bruce covers his ears.
Excuse me. I think I'll take a little trip to the...
He stands, staggers, and grimaces.
The wine is going right through me.
Grace faces the other table.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry.
Keep going, Tony. You're great.
Now Bruce exits to an alley.
What is going on here? Oh, what is this?
He crouches down and covers his eyes. As he lowers his hands, he finds himself on a snowy mountain peak.
Really something, isn't it?
God stands beside him. Bruce gazes down at puffy white clouds.
Is this heaven?
No, this is Mount Everest. You should flip on the Discovery Channel from time to time. But I guess you can't now, being dead and all.
I'm dead?
Nah, I'm just messing with you.
That's not funny, man! That is not funny! And what about the voices in my head? Is that part of the hilarity?
No, those are prayers. And you keep ignoring them, they're going to build up on you like that.
But it's just noise. I can't understand them.
You're not listening, son. Let's see. You've had my powers for a little over a week now. How many people have you helped?
Bruce stretches his arms out and shrugs.
You know, I took care of a few things. I righted a few wrongs in my own life first, okay? I was gonna help the others. I think I could help the world.
The world?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the world. That was just Buffalo between 57th Street and Commonwealth.
Oh.
I didn't want to start you off with more than you can handle.
Well, you took the job, Bruce, so I suggest you get to it.
Now in Bruce's apartment as Grace sleeps, he cocks his head and wiggles a finger in his ear.
Prayers, prayers, okay, prayers. This creepy whisper thing has to end. Organization and management, that's what I need. I need a system, something concrete. Concentrate. Files. Let all prayers be organized into files.
Stacks of file cabinets fill the living room.
Well, it takes care of the voices. Not exactly a space saver, though.
He peers over one.
Grace might notice. I know. Prayer post-its!
The cabinets vanish and small yellow papers fly into the room. They cover the walls, furniture, and Bruce. They cover Sam. Bruce hurries to the paper-covered bedroom where Grace sleeps under a blanket of post-its.
Okay, I need something with a lock. Security combination, a password.
Yo. Later, Bruce faces his computer.
You've got prayers.
Welcome to the Revelation Superhighway. We bless, no mess. Downloading now.
As thousands of emails scroll by, a progress bar reads, downloading prayers 1%. More emails increase it 2%.
This is gonna take a while.
Later, sunlight shines into the room as Bruce sleeps in his chair. He wakes up and looks at the computer.
1,527,503 prayer requests.
He looks at a coffee mug.
I better manifest some coffee.
Outside the window, a mustached Hispanic man stands with a donkey.
Hola! Juan Valdez!
Juan pours him a cup of coffee.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Disfruta un buen café.
Gracias, señor.
Adios.
Adios!
As Juan walks off, Bruce sits in his chair and sips the coffee.
Now that's fresh mountain-grown coffee from the hills of Colombia.
Grinning, Bruce sets down the mug, holds his fingers over the keyboard, and types. His fingers rapidly strike the keys. Wearing a mad grin, Bruce stares wide-eyed at the screen as his hands move in a blur. He types with one hand as he takes a sip of his coffee. His eyelids droop and his jaw goes slack.
Okay, I had to have made some kind of a dent by now.
Still over 3 million unread prayers.
Oh, come on! Oh. What a bunch of whiners. This is gonna suck up my whole life. You know what?
On screen, a message box reads, answer all. Bruce types yes.
Yes. To all! Yeah. There you go. Now everybody's happy.
Nighttime. In a stately mansion, a large chandelier hangs over partygoers. The front door is flanked by two banners which read, Congratulations, Bruce.
I'll drink to that. My tech stock's tripled in 5 days.
You know something, Jill? You seem taller.
I am.
My daughter pitched a no-hitter.
I lost 47 pounds on the Krispy Kreme diet.
Hey, there he is. Man of the hour.
Bruce pours water into wine.
Bless all of you. Be fruitful and do long division or something. Hey, try that. It's an excellent year.
He hands a woman the water carafe.
Who do you like in the game tonight?
I like the Sabres. Coach prays a lot.
Okay.
On a dance floor, Bruce puts his hands on his hips, puckers his lips, and flaps his arms. Smiling, he glances around, catching Susan eyeing him. He nods. With a sultry smile, Susan walks off. Bruce lowers his gaze, glances off, then looks back in her direction. Now at their apartment, Grace eats ice cream.
Hey, this is Bruce, Grace, and Sam. Leave a message. Grace, are you there? Hello, it's me. Hello, 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 hello. Come on, Grace. Come to the party. I'll call you later, okay?
At the party, Bruce stands in a bedroom.
Come on, Sam.
He stares at his pointed fingers.
Help me out here.
At the apartment, Sam paws the remote, and It's a Wonderful Life comes on.
Oh, don't. Come on.
Grace watches.
If I don't, it might not come true.
What is it you want, Barry? What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word, and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Hey, that's a pretty good idea. I'll give you the moon, Barry.
I'll take it.
Keys fly into Grace's lap. With raised eyebrows, she picks them up, then glances around.
See? And the moon beams it.
shit out of your fingers and your toes and the ends of your hair.
Grace looks at Sam, who stares up at her. Now, in a white SUV, Grace pulls up to the party mansion. Inside, Bruce sits on the edge of the bed as he holds the phone receiver to his ear.
Hey, this is Bruce, Grace, and Sam.
He hangs up.
Hi, Bruce.
Susan enters.
What are you doing in here all alone?
Oh, I was just gonna...
He leans back. He stands with a throw pillow stuck to his shirt. He throws it back onto the bed.
Give Grace a call.
Yeah, I didn't see her in there. So how are you and Grace doing?
Actually, we had a bit of a fight. Kind of. I'm not sure if she's...
You're on fire, Bruce.
Hmm?
Yeah. Some women can't handle fire.
She steps close.
Some can.
That's interesting, because, I never thought we would ever talk.
She grabs his face and kisses him. Bruce holds his index fingers up alongside her head, then holds her head. He looks up.
Grace!
Grace stands in the doorway, slack-jawed. Bruce looks at Susan, then throws out his hands. Grace puts her palm to her forehead as she walks off. Susan stands with her hands on Bruce's hips.
Grace!
Bruce runs out. Outside, he catches up to Grace.
Grace, come here! Grace, this is so weird. I was just calling you.
Oh, yeah, why didn't you thought like Susan's mouth was the phone?
She kissed me. I'm the kissy. Grace.
Yeah, you're putting up a really big fight.
I tried to fight her off. I tried to stop her, but she's really strong. Okay, I screwed up. Can I make it up to you?
Yeah. Why don't you get me a boat, Bruce?
What?
Yeah, a big boat. And then maybe two big bags of cash. Then I'll be happy. Lots of money and lots of stuff. Other people want idiotic crap like getting married or having babies with a man that they've loved for 5 years. But not me, Bruce. Just give me the boat.
She gets in her car.
No wonder you stayed single.
Grace, don't do this.
I'm not doing this. I'm undoing it. I'll be at Debbie's. You take care of Sam until I can make arrangements.
She drives off. Bruce stares after her.
You can't leave me. I'm the Alpha Lady. I'm the Omega Baby. Okay, fine. I don't need you.
He walks back to the mansion. Inside, Susan waits by the front door.
What's the matter, Bruce? She can't handle a little competition?
Game's been called on account of rain.
The fire sprinklers go off. Holding plates and napkins over their heads, the well-dressed partygoers hurry out. Susan pushes her way to the front door. In an empty room, Bruce plops onto the couch and faces a TV.
An unusually high number of lottery winners has New York officials concerned. So far, 1,100 winning tickets have been turned in, all strangely from the Buffalo area. More on this story as it develops.
God appears.
Enjoying your party? Nothing like spending quality time with great friends, huh?
Grace left me.
Yeah, I know.
She'll take me back. She'll take me back, right?
Would you take you back?
Shutting his eyes, Bruce leans back.
How do you make somebody love you without affecting free will?
Welcome to my world, son. You come up with an answer to that one, you let me know.
Bruce twiddles his thumbs. Morning. Outside a two-story craftsman house, Debbie picks up a newspaper. Upstairs, Grace sleeps in a bed.
Rise and shine, Buffalo. It's 70 and sunny, and the perfect day to forgive Bruce.
I don't know much, but I know I love you.
She shuts off the radio. Later, she steps outside. Passing Debbie and Zoe, Grace jogs onto the sidewalk. As she moves down the tree-lined street, she spots a carving on a tree trunk. Grace and Bruce, surrounded by a heart shape. Her jaw drops as she finds the words forever carved onto the next tree. Leaning, Grace sees the words and ever inscribed on a dozen trees down the sidewalk. Now she enters the diner and approaches the blonde waitress.
Hi. Can we get a small coffee to go?
Sure, hon. Just a sec.
K-Tel Grace looks up at a TV.
The 100 greatest love songs of all time. You'll hear such classics as All You Need Is Bruce. If you can't be with the one you love, then love Bruce. do that to Bruce one more time. And who can forget that classic, Bruce So Horny, He Loved You Long Time. Order today, and we'll throw in at no extra charge the video Sweatin' to Bruce. Just dial 1-900-FORGIVE-HIM. That's 1-900-FORGIVE-HIM. Do it now.
With parted lips, Grace squints at the TV. Now in the daycare center, Grace goes to shut the blinds. Glancing out the window, she spots two face profiles moving together in a kiss. Grace cinches her brow and looks closer as a flock of birds form the words, "Call him," over the now heart-shaped cloud. She pensively lowers her gaze. Later, she sits outside with Martin, who eats glitter.
Gosh, please don't put that in your mouth. You don't eat that. Oh, that's not food. Oh,
wait,
go to the bathroom. Please wash out your mouth. Wash
off
your hands.
God, I swear that kid's gonna poop an ornament.
One more time, you're gonna be in a lot of trouble.
Grace sees the kids pelting Bruce with kickballs.
That's it.
He smiles at Grace. She waves.
I surrender.
Bruce walks over to Grace.
Hi.
They stare at each other.
I'm doing my first anchor tonight.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So how have you been doing?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah, good. Debbie won the lottery.
Oh, yeah? You're kidding.
But I guess so did 400,000 other people, so she only won, like, $17 or
so. I miss you.
Grace glances off and shakes her head.
Okay. I took the first step, jumped out on the ledge. Feeling pretty vulnerable, too.
I don't know what you want me to say.
Just say you love me and you want me back.
No, Bruce.
Come on, what about all the signs?
How did you know about that? Did you talk to Debbie?
Look, would it help if I just said that I was a complete ass?
Hey, you said ass!
Yeah, but it's okay if I'm talking about a donkey. I didn't say whole if I said ass.
Okay, you know what, honey? Let's go. Let's go inside. All right, kids, everybody inside. Time to go inside.
Grace, please, none of this seems right without you.
Yeah, I gotta go.
She walks off.
Wait!
She stops and faces Bruce. He points at her.
How do you feel now?
She shrugs. He points both hands at her. She furrows her brow.
Have you completely lost your mind? What, are you drunk?
Yeah, I'm drunk. Drunk with power.
He jumps on a short brick wall and holds his arms outstretched toward Grace.
Love me. Love me. Love me. Love me!
I did.
She lifts her eyebrows and walks off. Bruce lifts his hands above his head, then points after her as he bares his teeth. Shutting his eyes, he stands, sighs, and gazes upward.
Yeah, I know. Free will.
Now on TV.
More power outages reported today caused by last week's meteorite strike. Officials are desperately trying to repair several transformers damaged by the ensuing electrical surge.
The scene nearly turned violent when hundreds of disgruntled Buffalo residents protested last week's lottery results.
And doomsayers are pointing to last week's strange celestial events as signs that prophecy is now being fulfilled and the world as we know it may be coming to an end.
At Channel 7, Jack turns it off.
I've gone mad.
Bruce, 30 seconds to air.
Okay. Oh, there you are. It's your big debut. How are you feeling?
You know what?
Bruce sits at the news desk.
Never better. Show must go on, right?
The Sabres just won the Stanley Cup.
You're kidding me. Was that tonight? That's great, isn't it?
It's getting pretty crazy out there. We're going to kick live to Fred at the stadium, okay?
5 seconds to the open.
This is it. You ready?
Born that way.
Welcome to Eyewitness News at 6 with Susan Ortega. Bruce Nolan, Fred Donahue, sports, Dallas Coleman, weather, and now Buffalo's number one news team.
I'm Susan Ortega.
I'm Bruce Nolan, and here's what's making news.
The lights go out.
What happened? What happened?
We lost power. Transformers down again.
Oh, jeez. Ever since that damn meteorite hit.
Bruce touches his temples. The lights go on.
It's okay. We're back up.
We apologize for the interruption. And now back to the news. Bruce?
Thank you, Susan.
I'm sorry. We're going live to HSBC Arena, where the Buffalo Sabres have won the Stanley Cup.
Great.
Fred?
We're about to uncork some champagne.
Bruce points at a monitor and a champagne cork hits the field reporter's head. The reporter passes out.
What in the blue blazes?
We'll be back with the Sabres Stanley Cup victory in just a hot second. In other news...
The lights go out.
What? Oh, for the love of God, what is it now?
The whole booth is down.
No, it's not! In other news, fighting erupted in the Gaza Strip today as Israelis and Palestinians...
Bruce!
What?
We've got a situation here. They're rioting right outside the station.
You're kidding.
The whole town is going crazy.
Slack-jawed, Bruce stares downward, then looks at the camera.
Come on, Bruce. Say something.
Ladies and gentlemen, this just in. Possibly the biggest breaking news story this town has ever seen. And I gotta go. Sorry, Jack. Susan, it's all yours.
Bruce runs off. Now outside, he walks among the rioters. On the streets, flames engulf some cars. Bruce spots people looting the Kowalski's bakery and the coffee shop. The homeless man holds a sign that reads, "Thy kingdom come." Kingdom is spelled K-I-N-G-D-U-M-B. As Bruce moves down the street, a man hurls a rock into a store window.
$17.
People topple a Mr. Exclusive billboard.
Oh, no.
Bruce runs off as the board crashes onto the street. As a ball of fire burns the billboard, Bruce stares at his giant smiling photo, then looks skyward. Now Bruce stands in omnipresence.
God?
He looks around the seventh floor.
Are you here?
Bruce runs to the ladder.
Hello? I need your help! Clap on! Clap on! Clap on! Clap on! Clap on!
He shakes the ladder, then sulks away from it.
Figures!
Behind him, God steps out with his mop.
Well, hello there, Bruce Almighty. Not as easy as it looks, is it, son? This God business.
They're all out of control. It's mayhem. I don't know what to do.
Well, you're right on time. 7:00.
God winks. Bruce checks his watch.
7:07.
Smiling, God steps closer and hands Bruce a mop. Later, they stand side by side and mop in unison. In the large empty room, their shadows move on the white wall behind them.
All righty, then.
They share a smile.
There we are.
It's good.
It's good.
It's a wonderful thing. No matter how filthy something gets, it always cleaned it right up.
There were so many. I just gave them all what they wanted.
Yeah. But since when does anyone have a clue about what they want?
So do I do.
God puts his arm around Bruce and they walk to the ladder.
Parting your soup is not a miracle, Bruce. It's a magic trick. A single mom who's working two jobs and still finds time to take her kid to soccer practice, that's a miracle. A teenager who says no to drugs and yes to an education, that's a miracle. People want me to do everything for them when what they don't realize is they have the power. You want to see a miracle, son? Be the miracle.
A brilliant light beams down.
Wait, are you leaving?
God climbs the ladder.
Yeah, I figure you can handle things now.
But what if I need you? What if I have questions?
That's your problem, Bruce. That's everybody's problem. You keep looking up.
The light goes out.
Stored in Buffalo after this evening's downtown riot. State officials have suspended all lottery sales pending further investigation.
investigation. No injuries were reported in the melee. However, there were dozens of arrests.
On his balcony, Bruce turns from a half moon and steps toward the coffee table. He lifts the cover off a box and takes out a photo. Studying it, he sits on the sofa and rests his elbows on his knees. It's the picture of him, Grace, and Sam. Bruce opens the large photo album, flips to a half-done page, and adds the photo. Now Bruce's sports car sits in traffic. Up ahead, he notices a man lift the hood of his smoking car. Bruce's gaze shifts to the side of the road where the homeless man holds a sign, All for One, spelt W-O-N. Bruce looks off pensively. Later, he helps the man push his car onto a side street.
Okay.
Well, thanks a million.
Oh, not a problem.
God bless.
At home, Bruce stands at his computer. It automatically replies yes to every prayer.
Bruce Gibbeth? Bruce?
He unplugs it.
Take it away. You don't like it? Megabyte.
Now at the station, Evan throws his nameplate into a box loaded with office supplies and a framed photo of himself. Bruce enters.
Evan? Bruce?
I suppose you're here to gloat about the anchor position. Go ahead. Take your best shot.
Well, actually, I just came to tell you that I've been a royal prick. The anchor position is yours. I turned down the job. When I never really congratulated you in the first place. Congratulations.
Bruce holds out his hand. Evan hesitantly shakes it.
Thanks, Bruce.
On TV.
In the financial world, things are settling back to normal in what analysts are calling a fluke market fluctuation.
You made the right move, Jay.
So what about you? Are you ready to go back out there?
And do the cutesy stuff, the lighter side of the news, lower and debase myself for the amusement of total strangers? Yeah, I could do that.
It sounds like fun.
Good.
On the sidewalk.
Okay, Sammy, let's do it right. Like all the other dogs. I don't want to make you feel bad, but they're laughing at you, pal. They're laughing at you. Okay, come on, concentrate.
Bruce moves Sam's tail like a water pump. The dog digs at the grass.
What am I going to do with you?
Now Bruce carries the floral print chair outside.
I know this seems kind of crazy, but desperate times calls for desperate measures.
He sets it down by the tree.
Okay, Sammy, do your thing.
Sam lifts his leg and pees
that's
on the
it,
chair.
That's it. Good boy.
A woman passes.
Training my dog.
Now the homeless man holds a sign, God be good, honey. Bruce stands beside him holding another sign, whatever he said. An arrow points to the homeless man. Bruce gazes at his companion's disheveled appearance and messes up his own hair. Now outside his apartment, Bruce holds a floral print pillow in front of the tree. As Sam lifts his leg, Bruce slowly backs away.
Yes! We did it!
Debbie approaches.
Bow wow wow, you don't get gay.
We're doing it, doggy style!
Bruce notices her.
I'll alert Penthouse Forum.
Hi, Deb. How are you? How's Grace?
I really didn't come to chat, okay, Bruce? I came for Grace's stuff.
Inside, Bruce watches Debbie load a bag with colorful pipe cleaners and books.
You need to...
No, it's okay. I've got it.
Arms folded, Bruce steps over to the coffee table and picks up the large photo album.
I don't know if she wants that or not.
He sits as Debbie flips through the pages.
This is full. You did all this?
Bruce nods. Debbie closes the album and gazes thoughtfully at Bruce. Later, he walks her to the door. On her way out, Debbie stops and faces him.
You know what I do every night before I go to bed? I tuck my kids in, maybe have a scoop of ice cream, watch Conan.
Bruce smiles.
You know what Grace does?
He shakes his head.
She prays. Most of the time for you.
Bruce's smile droops. As Debbie walks away, she glances knowingly at him. As the door closed and leans back against it, his head bowed. Lifting his gaze, he looks off with parted lips. Later, he types at his computer.
Fine. Grace.
A list of hundreds of prayers appears.
A woman does pray a lot. find Grace and Bruce.
Several pop up.
Dear God, please help Bruce find himself, find contentment, find you. Dear God, please help Bruce. He seems to be struggling. Dear God, give Bruce strength. Dear God, bless Bruce. Bruce, Bruce, Bruce.
A message pops up. New incoming prayer.
It's her. Sammy, it's her. She's logging on. She's praying right now.
Bruce closes his eyes.
Grace.
Now Bruce crouches at Grace's bedroom window.
Please, God. Please. I still love him. But I don't want to love him anymore. I don't want to hurt anymore. Please. Help me forget. Please help me let him go. Help me let him go.
As Grace sobs, Bruce's eyes fill with tears. He stares through the window pane, unblinking. Now rain drenches Bruce as he walks down the middle of a dark street. His thin dress shirt and pants are soaked through. Slowing to a halt, he drops to his knees.
You win! I'm done! Please! I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be God. I want you to decide what's right for me. I surrender to your will.
As he holds his arms outstretched, a brilliant light envelops him. A semi heads straight at him. Cut to black. Now, Bruce's bruised body lies in the road. The view speeds up and away from him. Now, dressed all in white, Bruce walks through a thick cloud of mist. He approaches God, who stands in a white suit hidden in the fog. Bruce looks around and holds his hands up at his sides.
Am I?
You can't kneel down in the middle of a highway and live to talk about it, son.
But why? Why now?
Bruce, you have the divine spark. You have the gift for bringing joy and laughter to the world. I know. I created you.
Quit bragging.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's the spark.
God holds up Grace's prayer beads. Bruce takes them.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to pray, son. Go ahead. Use them.
Lord, feed the hungry and bring peace to all of mankind. How's that?
Great. If you want to be Miss America. Now, come on. What do you really care about?
Bruce gazes at the beads in his hand.
You want it back?
Bruce's gaze drifts past God, and he gazes off pensively.
No. I want her to be happy. No matter what that means, I want her to find someone who'll treat her with all the love she deserved from me. I want her to meet someone.
Bruce closes his eyes.
We'll see her always, as I do now. Through your eyes.
Now that's a prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
It's good. It's good.
I'm gonna get right on it.
God puts his fingers to Bruce's chest.
That didn't feel very good.
On the street.
Got a rhythm. All right, I got a pulse. All right, let's let him up. Yeah, get the backboard and brace.
As paramedics work on Bruce, the screen fades to black.
Bruce?
Now a doctor peers at him.
Bruce? Welcome back.
You're lucky to be alive, son. Someone up there must like you.
As the doctor leaves, Bruce's gaze follows a nurse past his broken leg to an IV stand. He notices a blood bag labeled AB positive.
I hear all that stuff winds up in a warehouse somewhere.
He turns his head to the door. Grace stands clutching her purse.
Grace.
My baby.
She climbs onto his bed.
God, look at you.
I was such an idiot.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I don't know what I would have done.
She hugs him.
God, I swear I wanted to be mad at you forever.
As she kisses his shoulder and squeezes him tight, Bruce notices the prayer beads in his hand. He studies them for a moment, then looks heavenward. He wraps his arms around Grace and holds her tight. Now in a park, a sign reads, Community Blood Drive. Grace and Debbie stand among a crowd as Bruce reports.
This is Bruce Nolan here at Buffalo's first annual Be the Miracle Blood Drive. It's a BEA beautiful day. So come on down here, because the life you save could be mine. Let's go over here, where the Kowalskis have baked a very special cookie just for this
occasion. It's shaped like a syringe.
Sure, it's a little creepy and a shameless plug, but we love them. Thank you, Mama. Vol, finger, nose.
Vol removes his finger from his nose.
I myself will have given blood twice this week. For those of you who haven't heard, I'd like to introduce you to the future Mrs. Exclusive, Grace Connolly.
He points her out with his cane.
Look at her! Isn't she beautiful? She just gave blood, and she still has enough left to fill up her face. Yes, behind every great man, there's a woman rolling her eyes, folks. I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News, with all the folks down here at the Blood Drive reminding you to...
Be the miracle!
You heard him.
Okay, cut it. Thank you, Bruce.
Thanks, Allie.
As the crew disperses, Grace approaches. They kiss.
How was that?
That was great.
Yeah?
That was really great. Now you still have to go over there. The nurse is waiting.
Do I have to?
Oh, it's not going to hurt. Mm. In fact, I think you'll find it quite pleasurable.
Nearby, two cops take some cookies and children run and play. Some hold red balloons. Among them, the homeless man holds up a new sign, Armageddon outta here. As he stands stoically, his face and hair change. He morphs into God. He gives a slight smile and claps his hands. Remaining opening credits, casting by Junie Lowry Johnson, CSA, and Ron Surma. Music by John Debney. Music supervisor, Jeff Carson. Costume designer, Judy Ruskin Howell. Associate producers, Linda Fields Hill, Janet Waddles, and Jonathan M. Watson. Visual effects supervisor, Bill Taylor, ASC. Film editor, Scott Hill. Production designer, Linda DeShenna. Director of Photography, Dean Semler, ACS, ASC. Now in an outtake, as Vol stirs chocolate, Bruce steps over.
Who can take a rainbow, wrap it in a sock,
soak it in the sun and make a groovy lemon pie? Oompa.
Noompa.
Doompa.
Executive producers Gary Barber, Roger Birnbaum, and Steve Odekirk.
I'm a very rare blood type. I'm AB positive.
Sounds delicious.
Jim bares his teeth and nibbles on Jennifer's neck. Produced by Tom Shadyac and Jim Carrey. Yeah,
well, there's storehouses all over the world.
As Jim covers Jennifer's face with his waving hand, she holds up her hand.
Sorry.
Produced by James D. Brubaker, Michael Bostick, Steve Korn, and Mark O'Keefe.
Okay. Positive. I be positive. Okay, sorry.
I have a rare.
He mugs toward the camera.
It's a rare.
Story by Steve Corin and Mark O'Keefe. Directed by Tom Shadyac.
I'm AB negative.
I'm IB positive.
Am I AB negative or am I
I don't know what you are anymore.
In Bruce's car.
Missed a freaking miracle to get to work on time.
As the vehicle starts to move, he throws his head back against the seat. Credits: Jim Carrey as Bruce Nolan, Morgan Freeman as God, Jennifer Aniston as Grace Connolly. Now winding up like a pitcher, he flings his pager toward an open window and it hits the frame. Now as he kicks off his shoe, it lands on a dresser. He greedily retrieves it.
Shit.
Philip Baker Hall as Jack Baylor. Catherine Bell as Susan Ortega. Lisa Ann Walter as Debbie.
That will work.
Other stories in the...
Stephen Carell as Evan Baxter. Nora Dunn as Allie Lohman. Edie Jemison as Bobby. Paul Satterfield as Dallas Coleman. Mark Keeley as Fred Donahue. Sally Kirkland as Anita. Tony Bennett as himself. Timothy Dupree as Bruce's cameraman. Brian Tehash as Bruce's soundman. Lou Felder as Pete Feynman. Lillian Adams as Mama Kowalski. Christopher Darga as Vol Kowalski. Jack Josephson as homeless man.
Eyewitness note. Eyewitness nose. Okay. And clear.
He mimics blowing his nose. That's right. Bruce tosses his cane. He falls to his side and bounces back up. Mark Adair Rios, Enrique Almeida, Noel Guglielmi, Rolando Molina, Emilio Rivera, and Albert P. Santos as Hoods. Madeline Lovejoy as Zoe. Jovan and Kobe Alley as Martin. Dan Desmond as Bill, ferry owner. Selma Stern as Irene Dansfield. Alfred Dennis as Old Man. Rena Fernandez as Pretty Woman. Robert Curtis Brown as Phil Seidelman. Michael Brownlee, Ted Garcia, Maria Quibon, Sean Robinson, Seda Rodriguez-Pagan, Ken Rudolph, Gina St. John, and Michael Villani as newscasters. Christina Grandi, Alan Lulu, and Jameson Yang as office staffers. Betty Ray as Hazel. Andrew Hadley and Nick Huff as teenagers. Greg Collins as Coach Tucker. Doug Ald Park as stalled car guy. Susan Ware as party woman. John Rosenfeld as businessman. Mary Pat Gleason as heavyish woman. Carrie Scott as partying sports guy. David A. Clemens as rioter. Bradley Stryker as college rioter. Michael Warnera as riot leader. Laura Carson as nurse. Zachary Aaron Krebs and Ben Livingston as paramedics. Nelson Machida as doctor. Glenn Aragoyan as trainer. Don Norwood and Michael Olafires as police training center officers. David Carrera as Phil's cameraman. Howard S. Lefstein as Phil's soundman. Maya Wan as Connie, masseuse. Darcy Powers and Laura Shea Griffin as attractive women at restaurant. Darius Rose as Tyler. Michaela Bowden, Samantha Boyarski, Dylan Ferguson, Cubby Kyle, Emily Needham, and Alex Villiers as daycare kids. Mo Daniels as daycare teacher. Araceli, Jessica Lee Mattson, Allison McCurdy, Patty O'Donnell, Janelle Perzina, Annie Wershling, and Ashley Yagan as women at party. Micah Williams as boy on bike. William Thomas Jr. as technical director. Tom Bayer as stage manager. Max Grodenchik, Michael Boffshever, Coley French, and Manny Suarez as control room operators. Dan Dow and Shoshani Hall as camera operators.